Welcome to Eastside Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us today. We hope that the Lord speaks to you through this message. If you have any ways that we could minister to you or any prayer requests, please contact us at ebckro@gmail.com or 229-377-4154. Now let's tune into the message.
Matthew 14. We're going to look at verses 22 through 32. We have been looking at passages in God's Word that I believe would encourage us in our walk with the Lord. A couple weeks ago when we started this in August, we said a couple of things. We said that there are times in our lives when we need to be refreshed, renewed, strengthened, built back up. Sometimes that's physically. Maybe we've been hurt. Maybe we've just been doing a lot physically. We're tired. We need more rest and we need to be refreshed. Sometimes that's mentally. Sometimes we've had so much going on in our lives that our mind never stops going. Not even nothing. Even when we're sleeping, we're dreaming about the things that we're having to do during the days and our minds are just tired. And then sometimes in our spiritual lives, we need refreshing, don't we? And so the passages we've been looking at intentionally have been passages that I've hoped and believe that would point us and lead us to things we can do, things we can be reminded of, that would refresh us in our spiritual walk with Jesus. And those of us who don't know Him would point us to life in Jesus. So, my hope is that even though this isn't what we plan to be and where we plan to be this today, that this is what this would do. And here's what we're looking at. We are looking at a passage in the midst of the Gospel of Matthew about Jesus and something that He did that was significant in the lives that were closest to Him. The men that followed Him from the beginning of His ministry that He called to Himself, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, the others, that saw everything He did, heard everything He taught in His ministry, saw the most miraculous things that Jesus did that revealed Himself as the Son of God, the second person of our glorious triune God, and also saw the most mundane things that Jesus did that revealed to them that He was not only God, fully God, but He was also fully man. Not sinful, but a living, breathing, in the flesh man. These men saw all of these things. And Jesus does something in particular in Matthew 14 that I believe this morning will encourage us. And what I want us to do this morning is look through the lens of the disciples that knew Him well, that saw all these things happen that Jesus did, and yet still struggled, and still needed encouragement, and still needed challenging in their faith. So, we are going to begin in verse 22, but I want, before we even dive in, I want you to back up to verse 13, and I want you to see what Jesus has just done. Jesus has just fed the 5,000. A miraculous feeding. People are flocking to Jesus and the disciples to hear Jesus teach and preach. They're out in the middle of nowhere. There's not much food. The people are hungry. The disciples want to send all the people away to the nearest villages and towns so they can get something to eat on their own. And Jesus says, "You feed them." And then many of us are familiar with this miracle. Jesus takes just a few loaves and a few fish, and He feeds 5,000 men and their families, miraculously, with more than enough left over. Mark tells us 12 basketfuls of food left over, just enough for each disciple to have a basketful to himself. Now, that was quite a miracle. Now, remember, at this point in the gospel, they have already seen Jesus do different things, like heal people from debilitating illnesses, and paralyzation, and all kinds of things. Teach miraculously with authority that no one has ever taught with on the face of the earth. Authority that was His own, not just passed through Him from God. These men have seen and heard all this. Get to Matthew 14, verse 22. Follow along in your copy of God's Word as I read. It says, immediately he made, that is Jesus, he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." Verse 28, and Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." It's quite a revelation for these men. They've seen Jesus teach and heal, do miraculous things like feed the 5,000. Now they're out in a boat. Jesus has sent them off. Mark tells us Jesus sent them off and he went to the top of a nearby mountain or hill and prayed. And as he prayed, he looked up and he saw them struggling to be. Matthew tells us that the wind was so much that these men who were fishermen used to being on the water, used to handling boats, they were good at it. It was their profession prior to following Jesus with their lives. It wasn't that they didn't know what they were doing. It was that they were caught in a storm that they could not get out of. And Jesus, seeing them, goes to them. But he didn't get in a boat. He walked to them on the sea, right? There's a passage in Job where Job is describing God, and he describes God as the one who tramples upon the sea. So I don't think it's by mistake that Jesus goes to them. They're scared, they're frightful, they still haven't figured out the full revelation that Jesus is the one they're waiting for. Jesus is the Messiah that is going to save the world from their sins, that will suffer for the sins of mankind, that will pay the debt for all who place faith in him. They haven't figured it out yet. So Jesus goes to them by trampling upon the sea. And he gets out there, and they don't recognize him. So it says in verse 26, they cried out in fear, "It's a ghost." Have any of you been there? You thought you saw something? Maybe you still think you did see something. But you were scared. These men were already scared. They were already in a situation they couldn't get out of. And on top of everything that was going on around them, they think they see a ghost. And for these people during this time, that would have been quite frightful. They have had levels of power in their minds that they believed certain things had. One of the top things was weather. Nothing is more powerful than weather, except for spiritual forces. Nothing is more powerful than spiritual forces, except for God. So they're already fighting one of the most powerful things they're up against, the weather. Then they think they see a ghost, a spiritual force, and they're even more scared, but it's Jesus. And I want you to see what they proclaim at the end of all this. We'll dive into what happens in a second. But look at their conclusion at the end of these events. Verse 33. Those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God. As these men follow Jesus, even though they had seen him do miraculous things, seen him teach in a miraculous way, they still needed to come to the realization that who they were following was God. And there was a reason that they needed to realize this. One of those reasons is because they would eventually watch the Son of God die on their behalf. And then they would eventually see the Son of God after he had conquered death and sin on their behalf. So they needed to realize that the man they were following wasn't just simply a man. He was fully God. But not only that, they needed to realize that they were following the Son of God so that they would continue to follow him. I want you to think about it for a second. These men, and eventually in the Gospels, we see a larger group of people of about 70, full of men and women that were following Jesus, recognized him as the Son of God. After his life, death, and resurrection, he ascended to heaven. And they, unbeknownst to them, though Jesus told them this, they didn't know exactly what it would mean, would face unimaginable obstacles. Political powers that would be against them, religious powers that would be against them, that would lead to some of their deaths, would lead to some of their fleeing their hometowns and the houses that they had built with their own hands, to places that they did not know so that they could survive, all because they were following Jesus. And in order to keep following Jesus, they had to know something, that it was worth it. Because Jesus was God. So I want to pause for a second. And let us connect that with us. Today, as Christians, or is somebody who's thinking about becoming a Christian by placing your faith in Jesus alone for the forgiveness of your sins and eternal life. We need to know something and be reminded of something. Sometimes it's easy to follow Jesus until the storms come. And when the storms come, we need to remember and sometimes be reminded in the midst of them that He is God. And some of you this morning are struggling in your faith because you're in the midst of a storm. Not a lightning and thunderstorm like these men were facing. Not mighty winds, literal mighty winds like these men were facing. But some of you are fighting for your marriages. And you know that God wants the success of your marriage. It's throughout God's Word. But you need to be reminded this morning that the one who you seek for strength and eternal life and all those things, He's strong enough to walk you through this and guide your heart to the right place and guide your spouse's heart to the right place. Not because He just wants you and your spouse's heart in the right place, but because He is God. Some of you are here and you are in a season of grief and mourning. And you're supposed to be. It's that time of your life. You've lost someone or something. And this morning you just need to be reminded that the one who is guiding you through that storm is God. He loves you and He is truly the Son of God, walking to you in the midst of the storm. Some of you are facing pending health news. Some of you have already gotten it, and you know the end result of the diagnosis you've gotten, or you know the possible result of it, and it scares you. And there's very few waking hours that you aren't worrying about it. When we're in the midst of that situation, we need to be reminded that the one who is in control, the one that we serve and we worship, that we go to the beginning and end of each day, that we are supposed to call upon unceasingly throughout every day, is God. The one who walks upon the sea in the midst of the storm, tramples upon the sea in the midst of the storm. Truly, Jesus is the Son of God. And if you find yourself in the midst of one of those storms or some other storm, perhaps what you need to do this morning is just to bow your heart and worship Him, being reminded of the reality that the one you follow in the midst of the storm is in control, not being affected by the wind, and He is truly God. He is truly God. They realized that. Jesus showed them that in the midst of the storm. Look at verse 27. Take heart. In other words, you can think of the cowardly lion. Heart is connected to courage. Be courageous. Take heart. It is I. Do not be afraid. He is truly the Son of God. Believer, perhaps you need to do that this morning. Perhaps you need to settle your heart in the midst of the storm. No, you can't control it. You've tried rowing against the wind. There's no strength left in your body and in your heart to keep rowing against the wind. But Jesus is walking to you in the midst of the storm saying, take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. Now, I want us to look at what happens. Verse 27, look back at your copy of God's Word. I want you to see this in the Word. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, take heart, it is I, do not be afraid. Verse 28, and Peter answered him. Peter's always the one, isn't he? He opens his mouth, and sometimes you're like, yeah, Peter, and then other times you're like, no, Peter, right? We all have friends like that, right? Some of us are those friends. And Peter answered him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. So Peter's like, yeah, let's do this. If the Lord is doing it and He is walking on the water, then I can walk on the water too. Now understand this. The wind's still blowing. They see Jesus unaffected by the storm. And Peter says, I want to walk with you, Jesus, unaffected by the storm, on the waves, something that I cannot do in and of myself. I want you to help me do it. Command me to do it, Jesus. It's a lot of faith, isn't it? Now, I want us to watch what happens. I know this is a familiar passage, but just sometimes we need to go to familiar passages to be reminded of familiar truths. Jesus said, verse 29, Jesus said, come. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. Don't miss it. Peter could only do this because Jesus is truly the Son of God. Peter can only walk on the water. Peter, a man, a sinful, hot-headed, mouth-uncontrolled man, walked on the water. Because of Jesus. Walked on the water and came to Jesus. Verse 30. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out, Lord, save me. Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? My pages keep flipping. Sometimes we think this belief thing is like we grab a hold to it and it's one size and it doesn't change and we just get it, we put it in our hearts and we got it. But it's not what we see in the Bible. What we do see in the Bible is that when we place faith in Jesus, when we get that truth and we believe it with just the tiniest part of us, grain of a mustard seed, Jesus says, Jesus saves us, not because of anything we've done, but because of everything He's done and His love for us. But then He calls us to follow Him, not to keep our salvation, but because He's our Lord. He calls us to follow Him. And what we discover is that as we follow Him, that mustard seed needs to grow. So it doesn't stay tiny. Jesus wants our faith in Him to grow. We see it with the people in the wilderness. Or all the way, go back to Egypt. They're in Egypt. God calls the people. He says, each family, take a lamb, sacrifice it in this way, put the blood of the lamb on the doorpost, and I will pass over you as I strike down the firstborn of Egypt. And in faith, they do that. Pharaoh, scared for his life and scared for his country, says, here, get out of our country, take our treasure with you, go. God rescues them from the bonds of slavery in Egypt. And they get right outside of Egypt to the edge of the Red Sea. And they hear chariots and horses and the sound of an army coming after them. The second they get done with one faith exercise, the Lord brings them into a bigger one. The sea on one side and the army on the other. He does it with us too. We place our faith in Jesus and He calls us to follow Him. And our faith, He calls us to increase our faith in Him as we follow Him. Testament, we Christian. We see it in the Old Testament. We see it in the New Testament. We see it in this passage. We've placed faith in Jesus, but you and I will continue to struggle with unbelief. You and I will still continue to struggle with little faith. And Jesus calls us to greater faith in Him. So you may be a child of God permanently. Nobody can undo that adoption because you place faith in Jesus. Praise God. But you may be walking through something today and your faith is struggling and you feel yourself sinking. But take note of what Peter did. As he saw the wind and the waves, he still cried out to who? Jesus. Yeah. He still cried out to Jesus. Some of you and some of us, myself, even though we are in the midst of a storm where we are putting our eyes on the wind and the waves, even though we've stepped out with Jesus and we said, okay, I'm going to follow Jesus through this. I know He will see me to the other side of it. But today, our eyes are on the wind. And today is a day where we need to follow in Peter's footsteps and go, Jesus, save me. And see Jesus reach out to us and pull us back to the top of the water again. Christian, two things. One, it's expected that we struggle with unbelief as we follow Jesus. Two, don't ignore it in your own heart. And if you are today, cry out to Jesus, Lord, save me. We see a man in the Gospels. Look at Jesus, and what's he say? I believe, but help my unbelief. So maybe that needs to be your cry today. Jesus, I know you can walk me through the storm. I said it a few weeks ago. I want to walk with you through this storm on top of the waves, standing there with you, believing that you are truly the Son of God. But today I'm struggling. Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Some of you on the edge of placing faith in Jesus. You haven't yet. And you just need to take a step towards Him. And perhaps that step this morning is to pray and cry out to God, God, if you are real, then give me faith, please. For the first time in my life, give me faith. You with me so far? So we see Peter, verse 30, cry out as he sunk back into the waves, Lord, save me. Verse 31, look at Jesus' response to him. Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him. Oh, you of little faith, why Jesus out? It's a good question, right? Jesus is God. Why would we doubt when we are standing with God in the midst of a storm? Why would we doubt his power when he's the one that can speak to the storm and it cease? Why would Peter doubt? Simply because he took his eyes off of Jesus, right? Verse 32, and when he had gotten back into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Now I want you to think about something for a second. Think about the disciples' life and ministry following Jesus apart from this event. Think about it specifically in the life of Peter. The conclusion of this event was the disciples in the boat with Jesus, worshiping Jesus, realizing finally that he truly is the Son of God. Apart from this event, they wouldn't have gotten there nearly as quickly. Do you see the grace that God bestowed upon these 12 men in allowing them, putting them in this storm? To row and row against waves that they could not row against and could not control. It was God's grace to show them who he was. God used a storm. I'm going to say it one more time. God used a storm that they could not control, that scared them to death, to show them he was God. And that was a gift that they did not deserve. It was grace. Christian, some of you can testify to this fact when you review your life. You can testify to the storms that the Lord not only has brought you through, but some storms that the Lord has put you in so that he could remind you who he is. Some of you may be here today and you have yet to place faith in Jesus, but Jesus has put you in the midst of a storm so that he can show you who he is. The God who controls the storms can bring us into him and out of him as he pleases. And he doesn't do it for no reason. Praise God, he does it for our good. I got a feeling that like these men were probably like, whoa, I don't want to do that again, but man, that was awesome. Right? Maybe not immediately, but maybe a few days later. Praise God for the storms. That in his grace, he reveals to us who he is. In his grace, when we need to be reminded of who he is, he uses storms in our lives to show us he is bigger, stronger, greater, loves us through those things, into and out of those things. Praise God. Church. Maybe you need to be refreshed because you're in the midst of a storm. And like the wind and the waves tired those men out on the sea. You're tired spiritually. This particular season has lasted a lot longer than seasons are supposed to last. And you're tired. And your faith is tired. And maybe your path to refreshment this morning is crying out to the Lord. Maybe in your pew, maybe coming to the altar as we close in song this morning and saying, Lord, I believe. I do. I believe that you are God, that you sent Jesus to live a life that I didn't live perfectly and to die a death in my place and to raise back up, and he is living and reigning today. I believe it, but I need you today in the midst of the storm to help my unbelief, to know that you will see me through this, to know that you are in control in spite of the end result. Perhaps that is the avenue of your refreshment. Perhaps that is the way that you get out of the boat and walk with Jesus. Perhaps some of you already have, and you've been beat up so bad since you've gotten out of the boat, and your eyes have been on the waves, and you've forgotten that you're walking with Jesus. I need you, and you need to cry out to him, Lord, save me. I believed, I got out of the boat, but I need you to help my unbelief once again. But I suspect that some of you are here this morning and you've never trusted Jesus. You've wondered, you've maybe toyed with the idea, maybe even walked down an aisle or prayed a prayer after someone at some point in your life, but you never fully trusted him. You said, Lord, let me come out of the boat with you, and then you never got out of the boat. Today's the day that you need to get out of the boat. And you can do that by coming to him as a beggar. You don't need me. You don't need anybody else. So we would love to walk you through this and show you how to do this with God's word. You come to him as a beggar. You say, Jesus, I believe in your perfect life. I know that I have not lived one. And I know that because I have not lived one, I deserve to die and pay that debt eternally. But I also believe that you died in my place. And I believe that I can pray to you today because I believe that after you died in my place, you rose from the dead 3 days later and you are alive and you are reigning today. So Lord, save me. Help me actually to get out of the boat today. There's nothing I can do to get you to do this. I can only appeal to your love and your mercy and your grace. So please, Lord, save me. Maybe that's where you need to go this morning. However you need to respond. Maybe you just need to praise God for his grace in your life. However you need to respond this morning, I want to encourage you to follow the Spirit of God and respond. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for your inerrant, infallible, perfect, active word. We thank you for your Spirit who is here with us today, leading your people, convicting those who are not. God, we pray that you would do your work here and now. We pray that you would be glorified as we respond in song, as some of us respond in prayer, as some of us perhaps even respond for the first time in faith and repentance. God, we pray that you would be the one that who is glorified, and we pray that you would lead us with your Spirit however we're responding today. In your holy name we pray, Jesus. Amen.
Hello, my name is Andrew Donaldson, and I'm the pastor here at Eastside Baptist in Cairo. And I want to thank you for taking time to study God's Word with us. If the Lord is working in your life and you have questions about anything you have heard, or you have questions about what it means to trust and follow Jesus, we want to connect with you and pray for you and walk with you through God's Word to answer your questions. The best way to do that is by clicking on the contact link at the top of our webpage. There you will find our phone number, 229-377-4154, and our email address, ebccairo@gmail.com. Thanks again, and we hope you have a wonderful day. Never once did we ever walk alone. Never once did you leave us on our own.
faith.